Okay, we are popped and locked in 3, 2, 1.
It was the 90s. Definitely popped, definitely locked.
Yeah. I'm not popping anything these days. Except ibuprofen.
That's what she said.
There it is.
Is Hutton going to be live on the train?
Oh, still there. God.
You just look like society has collapsed.
We've got John Hutton live on the scene reporting on the latest.
Be good PR for the podcast. We're the only people with a line in.
Yeah.
Breaking news. We'll sell this to WGN, NBC.
It's the break this podcast. The suicide on the Metro line is the break this podcast has been waiting for.
Feels so weird to be holding this mic.
Why are you doing the handheld?
He wanted to.
Sounds like king of the handheld.
I'll give him to.
He does it every night.
Wow. Let him dream.
Wow. The microphone hold.
Sounds like Steve Dover.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Gavin.
No, I'm trying to be...
very comfortable with that.
I'm not trying to make a joke about anything. Like a penis in your hand or something. So with the Globon Ops guys joining Slack, I don't know if I have a dependency on Google Talk anymore for work reasons.
Love it.
Wait, what do you... Slack has audio?
No. Well,
oh, Google Talk, the chat.
Well, chat. Google
Chat.
Whatever
I almost never use Google Chat anymore.
I mean, it's all odd, weird people that I never talk to anymore that now might message me throughout the workday. All
right, everybody be quiet. Let's
Hutton,
get
can
a
you
sound
hear
check.
The individual mics?
I'm hearing you all.
Oh, all right. It worked.
Welcome.
We hear you.
Is he into the
this
boards?
Is great technology.
Did you take a shower after this morning's incident?
I feel like I should. I just felt dirty after that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Long morning.
Do you want to talk about it, John?
2.5 hours sitting on a train?
3 hours, yeah, until they let us off.
Yep. What's the engineer's mood when he gives? Does he give updates? Like, how do you even know what's happening?
Yeah, it's kind of they kind of progress. It's like, okay, we just suddenly slowed down for some reason, and they get on the intercom and say, there's an accident and we're going to be here for a little while. Make arrangements.
Yikes.
And then so they say accident. And then as it goes on, they're like, okay, so we've had a pedestrian incident and we're not going anywhere for a long time. And then as it goes on, they get really worse and worse. They're like, okay, so we're waiting for the coroner now.
Oh.
And we're going to be here for a while.
But that went from...
You know this guy. He's a city employee, so...
Yeah, and then it got to the point where at 2.5 hours in, they're like, okay, so we're going to back us up to the next... platform, we need to hose down the front of the train, and then we'll let you guys off. And it's like, after 3 hours, I said, well, you can stay on the train. It's going to take about another hour to go to Chicago, or you can get off and go home. And at that point, I was like, I'm going home.
Did they write you notes to give to your boss? It's like jury duty.
We killed a man today, so please excuse John's absence. I wonder if the guy who just like makes the announcements, then let the guy, he just killed a man, and now he's got to update all the passengers. I mean, he didn't kill it off of his own fault, but
the driver, they basically excuse right away. He's off work for 3 months, I heard. But you just look at the newspapers, and then it's funny because I was reading the Tribune, and they're like, there was a pedestrian incident, and the condition of the person is not known right now. And I'm like, okay, we were going 65 miles an hour.
It's a train.
A train. I know his condition.
They had to hose the train off.
It's like when a mosquito hits your windshield.
Oh.
That's pretty much what it was. It was, yeah. So.
Well.
But the announcements don't ever get to the point of, so we'd like to, our condolences to the Johnson family for losing their.
No, they never go that far.
They don't go that far? Okay.
No, so.
You rarely find out. I mean, it's usually just part of a local newspaper thing that you end up out through.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yuck.
Anyway, so, yeah.
Well, what a great way to start. Thanks very much. We are the World of Steve guys, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Steve.
I'm Dion.
Irk.
John.
Sean.
Yeah. Excellent. And we are, again, the Worldwide IT guys. Podcast number 31, I believe. Or did you guys do 31 last week?
We weren't sure if we were... We for some reason, I think we thought we were 30, but I don't know.
So, yeah.
We've lost track a bit. Ooh, yeah. Lots. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good for us. Yeah. Good for us.
Good for us, yes.
So, Dion, you were in New York last week, I hear.
I did nothing.
You don't want to share?
Which part?
But, So, transformation, you were in New York specifically on transformation. Why don't you share some of the fun that we went through last week?
Sure. I don't know where to begin. But,
All right, so maybe we move on. What happened after?
No, that's fine. I mean, the transformation stuff is all around how we can better support our users, and, you know, I keep talking about the front doors that are available for support and how we have different ways for our users to try and seek support, and I'm constantly trying to shut the front door on our current ServiceNow instance so that we can move into our new ServiceNow instance and all be in the same place using the same front door. And we were rolling right along. We had all of our workflows worked out. We had paths. We had diagrams and whiteboards. We were cruising. We had animated people in the room, even if they were not talking about anything specific, they were still animated. It was great. And, I'd move forward. I had more progress in the past 5 days than I'd in 5 months, which was great. And then I'm just kind of like, okay, well, I've got a lot of stuff set up and it's taken me a long time, but we're moving forward. And I'm like, it's a week later, and I'm like, all right, let's follow up on all that progress we made last week. And we're nowhere. And I talked to IBM about, like, hey, what are the next steps? And they're like, yeah, we're going to slow it down a little bit. And we're not sure if we've got all the contracts in place for this or that and the workflows and this. And we needed, to talk more about that. And I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again. So I feel like we took one step forward and now I'm taking two back.
Is this like a high school relationship? It's like, whoa, we're moving way too quick. Slow down.
Yes. Well, let's put it this way. I got something set up inside ServiceNow, all my resolver groups. So, like, I feel like, I got in and then it was like, no, you're trying to do too much.
Yeah.
You do need to slow down.
You're doing some heavy petting.
Yeah, that's right. It was like I need to, take them out to dinner and, buy them some flowers and, but whatever. I don't know.
It's not that big of a roadblock. This is...
Well, we'll see.
A week of let's find out what happens, next week.
I've already gotten an email from somebody who was on the call, who I've been working with, and it's not the gentleman that was with us last week, somebody else, saying, let's talk tomorrow. I think I can help.
Good.
So I think there are certain people that want to completely slow everything down, get all the details about every single thing that we need. And I'm kind of like, I don't need everything right now. Here's exactly what I need right now. And I think we'll get there. It'll be one of these... Somebody's going to be working on something to do it under the radar, like what happened last week. That's going to happen hopefully in the next week. And then in 2 or 3 weeks or in a month, when everybody's like, hey, we finally figured everything out, you ready to move forward? And I'm going to be like, sure, yes, yes. And then it'll be done. It'll already have been done and in use, and it'll be fine. Because what I need is nothing that... is groundbreaking.
So what you're saying is you are actually in FMO.
I am trying to,
no,
but
you're there. This is FMO.
If I
finding ways around the system,
yes,
the system,
yes.
Over the radar.
Yes, yes, yeah, all the work.
FMO.
I don't know, it's more, it feels more like third base. I don't know. I mean, still a win, but not still, what you're going for. Not,
still, remember, you're out at third.
I'm not out yet.
So then you had a nice dinner.
We did?
Yeah. You may not remember that.
We ate food in New York? I don't think so. I don't remember food.
There may have been nachos or something.
Oh.
Well, late at night.
That's, yeah.
Too late at night.
Yeah.
If it doesn't come with a side of masacholi, it's not dinner.
Or meatballs.
Yeah, yeah, correct. All I know is it's like, let's grab a quick one with our friends before they all leave us to go home, and they never went home. And they never, and we never ate
because
the quick
ones are still here.
4 hours of, yeah, of, yeah.
My favorite part of the entire experience was
boy.
Next morning.
Don't say anything I haven't already heard, please.
A couple of, you know, text messages going between us, text messages where I just get one simple text message. Thank you very much. I woke up in my bed. There was nobody next to me.
Oh, jeez.
I'm very happy.
Glad you're not next to me.
Nobody.
Or anybody. Yeah. Yeah.
It's my bed, my room, nobody's.
I told John, though, that maid had to do nothing. I didn't even wrinkle the comforter on the bed. I was like, down and up. That was it. Down and up. Right in the shower, out the door. I did like, though, that you're like, I'll be out of here in 10 minutes. So I'm like, I will not make 10 minutes. And like 35 minutes later, I'm like, okay, I'm ready. You're like, yeah, I'm still here. Okay. I'm like, okay. Yeah, that was you're a little slow this morning, too.
Oh, man.
That was.
We were going slow.
So anyway, that's what happens when you do 4 hours of, you know, pre-dinner drinks, and then you have dinner at 10.
Well, a snack, really.
Snack, whatever it was. I don't remember.
Hardly dinner at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, the happy hour, 4 hours long.
You know, our coworker gets kudos for the fact that that's the only reason there was food at all, because it just showed up next to us, and we went, oh.
Thank God.
I'll eat that. We didn't order it.
Pretty sure I was begging for that.
That was, I'm sorry, John, I think that was the extent of the story.
No, and let's be clear.
Let me clarify.
The next morning, where I... you know, down and up, and yeah. In the shower, meet Steve, go for meetings. It was 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10, 10:30, 11 meetings. So yeah. It was back to back to back to back.
Everybody
to back.
This
wasn't a, yeah, they didn't see me because I wasn't on our calls or stop to say hi, good morning, you want to get coffee. It was because I was already in meetings, meeting with people. Not because I didn't get out of my bed until 10:30. So.
Is my level okay now, Gavin? I don't know how you're...
John was.
John's.
Yeah.
My level okay now.
You're still like you're talking to another mic, but it's everyone else like sounds perfect in my headphones.
Dion's mic. That doesn't work.
No.
Check your levels.
Steve, go ahead and talk.
I'm still speaking. Gavin, why don't you?
It's a little better. Sure. It's a little better.
A little better. Okay. Better or worse?
Hello.
That's good. Yeah.
All right, let's leave it. All right.
There's 4 buttons on there, and this is often used by my show, The Blackout Diaries, and you're not supposed to ever touch the 4 buttons. Shameless plug.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, by the way, the show's going to be sold out this weekend. I mentioned it on an internal podcast. So be ready. But anyway, somebody like always drunkenly touches the buttons, and the buttons don't tell you if they're recessed or they don't tell you if they're on or off. So you have to just test it live.
Got yeah. It.
It's annoying.
I'm glad we sorted out.
Yeah.
What I say really doesn't matter.
I did like what CJ said last night, though. We went to your show and we saw one of your friends perform, and yeah. It was looking around the stage, and he's like, yeah, look at that stack of equipment. Like, these assholes need all that to play the 4 chords they do in this shit. And I was like, he was going off.
It
and
is
he's like,
fun.
But the music is really great here. Sorry. I was like, okay. Yeah, okay. Right.
It is
don't
weird.
Burn that bridge.
Well, you know a lot about audio, right? Like, it is funny. Like, the audio boards at these venues have like a billion. I mean, it looks like a nuclear reactor, all the controls. And I'm like, how can they possibly use all these? You know,
it just depends on the act that
comes. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
You know, need more than others, but
yeah,
the 3 chords and a drunken stupor.
Mm-hmm.
That band doesn't need all that.
No, but it was kind of funny with how he brought it right into.
They need the decibels. They don't need the controls.
Nope.
So yeah, that was New York.
That's it.
That's it. That's about it.
Well, on a 2-hour delay getting home, but whatever. Yeah. That's New York.
It was rainy. It was weather was bad.
So I don't did we talked about Cubs before. Baseball in the United States, wonderful game of baseball, and the Cubs and the Cubs fans being a bit crazy. I saw one of the crazy stats that's being thrown around right now. Did you realize the Cubs are, what's their record, John?
5-1, 6-1.
Yeah, they're 5-1 or 6-1.
Yep.
And somebody reported to me the other day that the last time the Cubs went, what did they go? They went 3 wins, 1 loss, 2 wins, and opened their home season against the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, Jesus. What is this stat?
Was 1908, which is the last time the Cubs won the World Series.
Oh, Lord.
It's bulletproof.
Honestly, yeah. that was.
Yeah.
That was on a radio show in the city of Chicago.
It's the best start for both teams in the history of both teams, too, right? They both
Cubs
won the first.
Yeah. It's the best group start they've ever had, I think. Yeah, they both individually had better starts, but Chicago's never seen both teams start so well.
2-0 was, I think, the record.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Games left to sustain that.
But I mean, the best record ever we've ever seen for both teams combined is 4 wins.
Wow.
This is the best 0.2% of the season start that's ever happened.
0.0.
Yeah. So
dark.
We're so.
Well, it's just realistic. I mean,
stats don't lie.
Stats don't lie. Ball don't lie.
Well, I appreciated the fact that somebody was crazy enough to go back and look at
that. Yeah.
That stats. I don't know who did it, but. Was reported on XRT, John.
Yep.
They're the best team in the National League right now. 6-1.
In the National League? Well, is anybody still undefeated?
No.
In neither league?
Nope. Oh, I don't know about the American League.
Because I thought there was one undefeated team still out there. So the sports segment, almost over. hockey playoffs start tonight, right?
Tonight.
Yes.
So that'll be fun.
The Baltimore Orioles are undefeated.
I thought there was still an undefeated team out there.
7-0. Anyways, that's baseball. Next.
What's baseball next? Sports time.
Quick hits.
The quick hits.
Another quick hit is the Golden State Warriors have tied the Bulls record.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
You know what I like about the Bulls, though, is I like how gracious they've been about it. And, like, congratulations, try and go out and get the new record. Because then you always see, like, the 72 Dolphins. Like, whenever somebody, they always go there and toast champagne when they lose. And they're such sons of bitches.
I'll tell you, at the Bulls organization, Michael Jordan and most of the Bulls have been gracious. Scottie Pippen's been a dick.
But now he's changed his tune.
But he was a dick. And then everybody's like, you're a dick. And he's like, oh, I didn't mean to be a dick. And it was like, yeah, you're a dick.
So, of course, I know the record we're talking about. But for those that don't know the record we're talking about, why don't we inform our listeners? Kirk, Well, all right, you called my bluff.
Right. So 72-10 is the Bulls record from 1995-96. It's the best record in the NBA ever.
Season.
The Golden State Warriors have just tied that record. If they win tonight, they will have 73 wins in a season. That's the most wins in a season.
How much more of the season is there?
Tonight's the last night.
Oh.
So they're 72-9.
So they have already tied the Bulls. If they win tonight, they'll be a game ahead.
Well, because by the time this gets out, this game will have happened. We should just do predictions. Do you think they beat the Bulls record or not?
Yeah.
They beat the Bulls. Sorry. They're playing.
Do you think?
It's already happened. All right, let's just. So the Golden State Warriors.
I'm going to put you in the hot seat here, Steve. Do you think they could beat the record?
They're playing the Grizzlies, and they, even though they had trouble with the Grizzlies on Saturday, they still beat them. So.
I don't know. We'll see.
No way. Not at this point.
We'll say they choke.
No way. No way. You know what the record I really wanted to see, though?
What?
I wanted to see. So Sunday, this is a lot of basketball, but Sunday, the Golden State Warriors.
I am familiar with the sport.
I gave you.
I don't
a look
get
like, I'm sorry. We'll be done
with
in
the
like
idea
seconds
of sport
all
talk.
Right, all right. So, anyways, Golden State Warriors going for this huge record. Play, San Antonio Spurs, and they're undefeated at home the entire season. I don't think that's ever happened until Sunday when Golden State has to beat them to get to their record. So it was the Sunday night game was great because it was these two teams going for these really cool records that have never happened before, and yeah, Golden State won. So that was cool. But I kind of wanted to see the undefeated at home. That would have been kind of cool.
What was the final score, and can you give it to Aaron in hexadecimal? So you can
understand it. I went from no sports to super geek.
That's right. Yeah.
No room in between.
Classify the podcast now. It's no longer what we went from pseudo humor to political, and now we're all sports all the time.
All sports.
All sports all the time.
I keep changing it up. So are we going back to politics? Oh, no, you were in a situation.
Sports-wise? Yeah, I got one thing. Hanging out with family last week, and I shared with this you a little bit earlier, some of you, and my sister-in-law is from India, and her cousin's in town, and her cousin is very excited about the Indian Premier League, which is a cricket league. So here in America, we could care less about that. But the fun part about it was that I learned that Indian women won't be cheerleaders how the sport wants them to be cheerleaders. They have more dignity than that, and they won't wear such revealing clothing and things like that. So they import cheerleaders from the United States to this Indian Premier League, and it's just, you know, if you're a cheerleader, this is your study abroad experience. You just sort of teach English. I'm just going to go cheer in another country.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think about it. Those cheerleaders in the United States make like $5,000 a year. Whether they go over to Europe and make a ton of money or go to other leagues.
Nobody exports TNA like the United States of America.
Exactly. We should.
They probably have to take like these ultra aggressive rule book classes and everything. So, you got to know when to cheer, unless the coach is just like, well, you know, now we, that was a good thing. What just happened?
And that's like having cricket cheerleaders is like having baseball cheerleaders.
Yeah, exactly. It's a slower game, you know.
What do you do?
I saw pom-poms.
It would be interesting to try baseball cheerleaders. I wonder.
All they need is a t-shirt gun. That's it. Sorry.
Thanks for sharing. Well, at the end of our sports, or Erker, you have more?
I'm good. Moving on.
Okay. What did I see? Trump is battling the entire party now?
Oof. Well, they took, he claims they took, Colorado away from him. Colorado didn't let Republicans vote, which is hilarious. Like, we're not going to have people vote. We're just going to give it to whoever we like, you know, which is, in 2016 is, and it's like not that big of a story somehow. Like, that's precisely what happened.
Although it's not technically a vote, it's a party presidential polling preference or something is what they technically call it.
But it's not transparent. Like, we have no idea how they came up with the figure or anything like that.
I mean, the whole party.
They're just like, we feel we have the pulse on the voter, and here's our results. Well, all that goes to Cruz.
The reason they did it, and they did it in August, was because the Republican Party decided that the delegates would be bound to whomever the eventual nominee was. And they're like, whoever the nominee is going to be, we probably won't like that person. So we don't want to sustain your rules.
So he's not going to get enough delegates now, right? He's past the point.
They don't know for sure yet, but it's saying it'll be difficult. I guess the issue is it's very difficult to calculate it exactly because there's this pool of like unbound delegates. So like potentially if like a high enough percentage of the unbound delegates voted for Trump, he could get it, maybe.
But it seems like it's not going that way.
Yeah.
The percentage that he would have to win would be 61%. A lot higher, right? Which is
61% of the remaining delegates he has to win.
5 to 10%.
But that's of the bound, I think.
The unbound, though, like in Colorado, for example, all of them went to Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Every single unbound delegate.
So it's difficult to predict. It's, you know, I mean, we talk about it all the time on the podcast, but it's going to be a shitstorm.
It'll probably break 1,000.
I saw something today that one of the states that Trump won, he got all the delegates, are actually 90% in favor of Cruz. So Trump's going to lose all his delegates. And probably a lot of the states that he won, he's going to lose the delegates because they're Cruz or whoever else supporters.
If there is a TV, like, just entity that's willing to do it and he's willing to accept it, if they could just keep a camera on him for the entire convention.
Absolutely.
And just, like, see his reaction when he Because you know he's going to say something hilariously, dangerously over the top. You know?
He's probably going to get charged with like inciting a riot or something. Like that. I mean, someone's going to get stampeded. It's going to be great.
Wow.
I did ask my brother, by the way, who used to work for somebody in Congress, if he could get me in. And I'm like, no, seriously, can you get me into the convention? He's like, Ohio will be crazy. It may even be dangerous. I'm like, yeah, no shit. That's a, thanks. Thanks, Dan. Thanks.
So I can't in good conscience put
it
my brother
be
in there.
Dangerous. Like, I'm like, yeah.
Like he's like you're dragging, like you're volunteering for Marines, like beach duty or something like that. Like,
did you tell him you know you're bringing the marrow? Like,
I didn't explain the entire plan because I didn't want it to belittle what we were trying to accomplish together.
That wouldn't be the good agenda to share.
Yeah.
For why we needed tickets.
Yeah, we're throwing a sixer in the back, put the top down on the Camaro, and driving to the convention.
Basically impervious at that point.
So is it still like in the cards? I
mean, I've asked him to see what he's got going because he may be able to get in, but I don't know if he could just get tickets to get in or if he has to like maybe my brother escorts you into
the maybe convention. We should just get a job at like whatever the venue is. Just be nacho salesman for like a week, you know, like we're the most qualified nacho guys.
Get your Trump
guys.
Foam finger. Like, yeah, or
what's your greatest professional experience? Probably when I built the first ever licensing system for an enterprise scale Office 365. Anyways, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm all about the nachos. And I'd really like to be on the schedule next week.
Well, the Secret Service is working, right? They should probably be.
I don't think I would fail like any kind of background check. You know, I'm not like gonna kill the president type. You know,
no,
yeah.
Why'd you have to say that? We're totally flicked. Well, if you do go, you should definitely get your tetanus shot, Sean.
You liked talking about this last night. Yeah. I get a tetanus shot. I used to get it regularly just so I always knew. So I always end up just having lots of piercing wounds. And so I like to always be current on my tetanus shot. Because I always ask you, have you had it within the last 8? And most people, it's always on a border. Usually you can't definitively answer if you've had a tetanus shot in the last 8 years. I feel most people can't. So I used to just schedule one every 5 years. But lately I've been injuring myself so much that I usually get it like every 3 years though now. But I just like the ease of mind of knowing you have a tetanus shot. So you don't have to worry about
it. It's like armor for you. You feel like...
Yeah, it's like having a life insurance policy or something. It just puts you at ease. You can... You don't because
fight infection like.
So yeah, you don't get infection like bacterial infections from wounds like. It came up because we were watching you guys play ping pong last night, and.
You almost went into
you guys
the wall.
Were diving.
No, but you and especially Ross, like Ross at one point came like within an inch of putting his head into one of those picture frames, and the corner of the table. I'm like, oh man, somebody's gonna get a wound here, you know. And I'm like, I hope they have their tetanus shot.
They have their tetanus shot.
Yeah.
I've never heard that in my life.
Tetanus shots?
No, I've heard of tetanus shots, but it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, don't put your foot through that metal spike. Otherwise, you'll have to have a tetanus shot.
Yeah.
It's like something, you avoid all of this so that you don't get the tetanus.
Well, it isn't just metal, though. It's like, you know, it can pretty much grow on anything. So, like, any type of penetration wound, you probably have to get a tetanus shot for. Most people only get, you know, they step
have you
on
ever
nails.
Had a tetanus shot?
Yes. We just had kids, and you. I think that's.
Yeah,
part
I think
of
I
it.
Have to do something new because of the baby on the way. Yeah. I think they now say
when you have a kid, they make sure you're current.
Well, and yeah,
with
tetanus shot. They
stuff,
have a tetanus
so,
shot
yeah.
that's bundled.
Yeah.
They have like this new parent package, which
yeah.
is like
T-DAP.
Tetanus. Yeah. Whooping cough. It's like of like four things they just put in you. It's like a cocktail.
Yeah. Makes you a better parent.
Sounds safe.
I have 3 kids, and clearly that's what screwed them up.
Yep.
That's your problem.
Have you ever had a tetanus shot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
I'm the only one. John, yes?
Always get them.
I mean, I don't think we have calendar reminders to get them, but...
We don't pre-empt.
They've come
reoccurring
up.
Meeting and Outlook.
No, but like, well, when you travel internationally at times, it's kind of part of the package too.
So I mean, right. I clipped my finger a couple. Was that last year?
Oh yeah.
And that was, you know, have you had a tetanus shot? Because right. I clipped my finger while I was doing some yard work with clippers, and it was really bad. First time I'd ever had stitches, I think, in my so they kind of asked me if I had a tetanus. I'm like,
who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we just had a baby a couple of years ago, and they're like, are you sure? And I'm like, pretty sure. And they're like, we'll give it to you anyway. And yeah. I'm like,
ugh. If you're not a definitive, they'll give it to you.
So there's no concern of having it too many.
You can
times.
Have it as many times. They're always like, you could have had it 10 minutes ago, and if you somehow forgot about it, we can still give it to you.
Yeah.
I was kind
of
mad.
It's
though,
a terrible disease though. If you don't have it, it'll like ruin the rest of your. If you're wrong. And you don't have that immunity inside you, it causes like lockjaw, I believe, and you may like never speak or eat food again. Huh. So it's like that's why they take it so seriously. If you're not 100% sure, they're like, we're just going to give it to you.
Yeah, the only reason why I was a little upset was because I had confirmed later on that I did have the Tdap there at that hospital, and my records didn't.
Isn't it funny how in the medical industry they can never look it up? They're like, "Have you had it?" I'm like, "Whoa, okay, you know, just ask me."
I don't know my own birthday,
you know,
because like, I said I think I had it here. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jiffy Lube has better record.
You know? God,
they never know anything, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes I'm like, do you have any, like, I have this doctor, and I've seen her a few times, but she'll, like, I always end up somehow filling out the same form, and she'll always be like, you had cancer? I'm like, yes, we talk about this every time I've been here. Like, so not only does she not keep the records, like, she's not even just, like, intellectually filing it in her head.
Yeah, right.
That I had cancer.
Do you know that chart that you guys bring in all the
Yeah.
Here, just turn the computer on. I'll fill it in for myself. It'll be here for you next time.
She'll go, and I'll be like, yes, it was skin cancer. I had what they call basal cell. It can't become malignant. So it's like the least scary form of cancer. Every time she's like, what are you doing? Then I explain. She's like, oh, you got to be good about sunscreen. I'm like, yes, I am. You tell me this every time.
That's one of those things where I feel like has been talked about for literally 10 years. Like, and maybe they've made progress. I haven't paid attention, but like getting medical records into electronic formats.
Oh, yeah. Well, Steve and I went out to Monk's one day and my buddy met us, and he's with the startup that is trying to do that. They're essentially a platform for APIs for saving this. And if... managing the data and so on. And he told us a stat that was amazing, that studies have shown, I think the stat was like 15% of people die from just coming into contact with our medical system.
Oh my God.
Our medical system is so, and that's not like off misdiagnosis, wrong operations, and it's just like we kill 1 out of 10 people.
Going to a doctor is the worst possible thing.
Well, no, it actually is sort of funny that like you're, and they say like some of it is so overprescribed that like you're almost better off. I think like statistically you're better off going, but it's not as definitive as like, you know, people think. Yeah,
I'm the most healthy person here because I've never had. Right there.
You've never had a tetanus shot. I love that. And Dion has never farted.
You broke your toe underwater, though. You just stubbed it, though?
No. That's not sliding under the mic on that one. What was that, Gavin?
What?
What did he say?
Steve's never had a tetanus shot and Dion has never farted.
Interesting.
True story.
We meet a new team. Like, say something interesting about each team member.
New segment.
I crochet in my free time.
Dion has never farted.
Okay.
Are we going to tell that story, or have we told that story?
Dion, would you like to tell that story? You're the owner of that story.
Because he's just going to say, I never said it.
we were at... a going away party, and somebody had bad gas. I have no idea who. And I think Gavin just asked.
We know who it was. It was John.
Was it John? Okay. So Gavin is like trying to figure this out, and he asked Dion. And we were all extremely drunk. I will say that too, in Dion's defense. Gavin goes, "Did you fart?" And Tia goes, "I've never farted in my life." And I was really part of the conversation. I hear on the corner of my ear, and I like explode in laughter. Dion kind of immediately starts walking it back.
Progressively.
He
more
just
farting.
Realized he claimed that he did. He hasn't done a biological function.
Thursday, like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And how I kept it walking it backwards was saying, like, "Well, you've never heard me fart in the office." And then I looked at Eric, and I'm like, unlike some other people who rip ass every 30 seconds in the office. So,
I think your next line was, "As far as you know, I've never farted." Then we're like, "What?
Don't drink. Follow that."
And
I know.
He goes,
"No spit
I've
things.
Never farted in the office." Yeah. That was funny.
And no, I have never had a tetanus shot.
Claims to fame.
Mm-hmm. What you learn on this podcast.
The next t-shirts, you know, will have personalized slogans on the back of them.
All right, so I'm talking about one like a toe.
I just remember you had to like get the boat out of the water or put what do you call those walkway planks, pier. You had to put a pier in or something.
You hurt your foot.
This was
years and years and years ago. I was helping my brother-in-law move this sailboat down onto the beach.
Oh no, this was just a couple of years ago at your cottage in Indiana. I thought you broke your toe moving a. You didn't? Oh, okay. All right, I must have been wrong.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I stubbed my toe.
Oh, you just stubbed it. Okay, yeah. All right. Okay. All right.
What are you?
Good for you.
Up there, Gav?
You seen what other topics we got?
Yeah, I've got a whole list here, but
Gavin's become our scribe.
In terms of claims to fame, I was collecting some things last night from the group outing. We had a lot of fun, but one of the myths that needs to be debunked in the claims here we need to set to rights is that Sean has finally admitted he's broken every phone he's ever been given by the company.
We specifically had
also during ping pong.
Yeah,
this is correct.
I've always been honest about how I broke them. Like I know the one I was playing with my son.
I hear the kids broke. Most.
Well, I know I was playing with my son and it fell out, so it fell out of my body. I don't think my kids have ever broken one, but I think I have broken them with my kids playing with them every time.
So you blame them?
No. I just forget I have a phone in my... I will say I learned to get out of the habit of putting the phone in like my side pockets where it can fall out.
Have you like done the jump in the lake or something?
I've never broken it off water damage.
Never done the water damage?
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad.
I thought Cora broke the last one with the camera.
She broke the camera, but the phone itself works.
Various okay. degrees of broken.
The idea of thing was fun if we want to bring that up.
So this is the current phone. The camera doesn't work.
The camera does not work because my daughter threw it across the room. Everything else works perfect.
Everything else works perfect.
But you know what's interesting?
The case that's built to protect it doesn't even work anymore.
That's just at the end of life, though. But it's funny how modern parents, how much of parenting now is filming your kids. And it's like funny, like I take my kids to the conservatory, and sometimes you can't even walk on the... you know, the forest pass because so many people are like filming their kids and taking up space and asking you not to go. But so also sometimes I'll just take the kids up. I have a park at the end of my street and I'll have all three kids and they'll be doing something cute or something like that. And like a mom will just walk up to me or a dad. They're like, "Oh my God, they're adorable. Here, give me your phone. Give me your phone and I'll get in there and I'll take a photo for you." And I'm like, "Oh no, you know, my camera doesn't work." And they're like, "What? Like how can you not have a camera?" And then like sometimes Lehman says, "I tell you what, get in there. I will take a picture and I will find you on Facebook." These are strangers. Like I don't even know them, you know, but like they just to them, it's so foreign that you
wouldn't have one.
Yeah. And that you wouldn't be documenting your kids' entire life on the Internet, you know.
Clearly you don't care.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. If you don't have an HD phone, capable phone, you are a bad parent now.
Well, my family, my wife is guilty of taking everything. It's like,
oh yeah,
video, film, the pictures, anything and everything. She's documenting in some way,
yeah,
or form, and always on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, You know, people don't care this much, Jim.
I mean, it's nice to have that archive there that you can go back for things. I don't, as long as people aren't being obtrusive, I don't care. You know, it's harder when, like, you know, especially like you go to a museum where our kids want to run around and there's all these photos that are being staged and they got to stay out of the way, you know, and everything. Yeah.
So we got a dog from this breeder who's kind of insane, and she's great in that she cares so much about these animals, but if you don't do things her way, then it's wrong.
She takes the dog back?
Absolutely wrong. And she does have, on the contract we signed, she has the right to pull the dog if she feels like we're abusive.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, that's
fair-ish.
She cares that much, right? But to the point where, like, she didn't want us neutering the dog until he was 2 years old. And I'm like, two years old? She goes, yeah, actually, I'd kind of prefer four, but I can't seem to get people there. I'm like, you're crazy. That's insane. I'm, you know, my vet's like, 6 months. Get it done. You don't want your dog, you know, marking and doing this and learning all these bad habits in 6 months. Well, we compromised, and we did it at 1 year. He said, you know what, we'll get to 1 year. It was almost 1 year. But what I just referred to, she posts photos and videos of, and a lot of it is about the dogs. I said, how are you going to handle this? Because the breeder is a friend on Facebook. And so how are you going to deal with this? All these photos, like minute to minute, it's like, oh, look, he did something else. And now you're just going to go dark because he's got, you know, he had surgery, so he's got a shaved patch on his leg, and he, you know, had to wear a bell and, you know,
Photoshop it.
Exactly.
You got to rent a lookalike dog for a week or something. Take photos of it, you know.
Body double, stunt double.
She's gonna freak out. It's like, what happened to the dog? She's gonna be calling, going, "Where's the dog? What's going on?" But yeah,
the dog's dead. Unfriend.
Unfriend.
Yeah.
Just unfriend her for a while.
It was weird. Very strange.
What else did we do last night, Gavin?
Yeah, I want to hear about the rest of the night.
The other thing he's got written down, I don't know if we want to get into it, that was funny, it was a conversation we had in here, was that we have a place where, like, the IT staff can share experiences, you can get feedback from other people, and this one tech shared it's just a funny move for a tech, because he goes, is it just broken? You know, which would probably be a big problem that would be announced. And he's like, you know, we had this user, his or her password doesn't work. It said it violated policy, and it clearly did not. He doesn't give any details. He doesn't say who the user is, right, what the policy error was, what the password was. Fair enough, you know, not the best troubleshooting, but then this guy replies, and this is the part that got us. He goes, I'll just make up names. He was like Kevin, I have always agreed with this.
I don't post a lot.
I don't post first a lot, like, but I think it's totally broken.
Yeah. I never post, but I totally agree with you. It's broken.
And it was, like, so secretive. And he just needed somebody to put that initial post out there. And I was telling those guys, I'm like, oh, God, wouldn't it be great if I posted? And I'm like, Kevin, I'm the lead developer, and it's totally broken. I was a philosophy major, and I don't know. I'm in totally over my head. None of these apps work, Kevin.
I failed all my classes. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. Can we just delete this thread?
I thought I was going to be writing comic books at this age.
I've got Kevin. Cars out of control.
But we just wanted to, like, sort of up the secrecy to the thread.
I'm totally in over my head here. I can't get it fixed. We can't figure it out.
Best of luck.
The call's coming from inside the house. It's just like, what? Oh my God. And then you're finally, I was just like, you know what? You guys are like, it's broke. I did this. Did you do that? Fine. You won't tell me the username. You won't do anything like that. I'm like, open a ticket. And Sean's basically like, why don't, instead of, like, you know, in the banner, why don't we just say, you know, IT Hub, here's where you open a ticket. A place where people can come together and open
a ticket. Guys, top ten tips for opening a ticket.
Here's how I like to open my tickets. I like my subjects to start with urgent. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Should I go with such a strong word, or should I, you know, not be so aggressive?
It would be really interesting to see, like, if they have, like, inbox open rates, like ticket open rates or something like
that. Yeah. Oh, like what gets better support? Like what words get better support? Yeah, totally. You know? Yeah.
That's why we were laughing so hard yesterday. Guys have been over my head.
It's just always funny. Like, it's just surprising what a tech is like. Is the entire system broke? You know? It's funny. Like, I used to work level one support, you know, at an internet service provider. That was like my first job at IT. And you get that all the people who just call, is the internet down today? They're like, no, you know, that would actually be a major news story. I'll be like, no, everything seems to be working. He's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I would know if the internet was down. That probably means that, like, power is out in a major part of the world, you know, or there's been a disaster.
Look out your window. Is there a riot? Do you see zombies? No, you're good. The tubes.
The
are
internet
fine.
Is definitely up.
There's certainly technology people that don't have that inherent skill of troubleshooting.
I mean.
I wish everyone have it. Developers do. You just... Yeah. Some people have it.
Yeah.
Many people don't.
It's also like wizards with it. It's like there's basic aptitude, and then there's like ridiculous. I think I've talked about this before. Like Dan, who's been on the podcast before. It's like I will look 12 different ways for something, and then I'll go, Dan, I'm trying to figure this out, and I can't find it. Help. And he's like, oh, here's a link. How'd you do that? What was your magic?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't tell you.
He's a good Googler. I mean, there is something to be said about people who are good at using Google and people who just are lost.
It doesn't take
a whole lot, but there's some sort of skill there.
Yep. Oh, definitely, yeah. What else do we have, Gavin? What were some other topics we posted in the chat?
There was definitely Dion cold calling to preemptively strike some of our partners yesterday during the business day. But and then, you know, there's just weed cover John situation. So I think I'll sleep.
You have pictures from last night, John?
I do have one or two.
You should share.
I will post them. I did take my first Uber ride last night. It was great.
Everything it was cracked up to be?
It was. I was kind of nervous at first, but every cab would pass me and say they're looking for an Uber pickup. And I was like, okay, I have to use Uber.
I like Lyft a little better, but they're both very good.
That was to get, like, from the restaurant?
To the train station, yeah.
Was it pretty sweet just walking out?
Yeah, I literally walked out, and then I stood there trying to hail a cab for, like, 5 minutes and had no luck, and I just Ubered, and a guy showed up in literally a second, or like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's pretty good in those kind of areas.
Do you mean walking out of the car?
I did mean that, yeah, just not having...
Because that's my favorite part. You just don't pay. There's no tip.
Right,
yeah.
Well, it was kind of cool because it was my first time, so there was like some like promotion code that I basically got a free ride my first time.
Yeah.
Cool.
The guy was really cool. He's like, oh, it's your first time. Just put it in here and then rate me, give me a good rate, and you're off. I was like, awesome. Thank you. That was great.
My cab driver in this week was really complaining about a lot of things in the city, the mayor being his big one, but Uber and Lyft being the other one, and how, like, the airport.
Oh, they hate it, yeah.
Because they now can access the airport, mm-hmm. and I guess they don't have to wait in the line. So a cab driver, I think, has to wait upwards of 2 to 6 hours, depending on how busy mm-hmm. life can be at the airport, and to get a cab, which I feel so bad about. When I'm back in Seattle, I don't live very far from the airport, so when I get, I'm conscious of, like, a cab driver might have been waiting there for an hour, and then I get in the cab, and I'm like, I'm 10 minutes, 15 minutes away. Not a really great fare for an hour worth of waiting. But these Uber and Lyft drivers don't have to do that wait. They just sort of pop right up. And good to go.
They do have a queue. I talked to a guy, I think it was in San Francisco. I said, how does that work? Because, I mean, he's not the only Uber.
Yeah, it'd be crowded over there.
How does that work? And apparently there's kind of a queue for them. And there was some way that he basically gets to the airport and, like, says, yeah, I'm here. and they put them in some semblance of order. So they
do have to get there before they're in the queue, though? Or could they be like, I know when my shift at the airport today is around 11, or I'm interested in being there around 11. They have a spot for me. I'll just go there around then.
But they don't, they're not in a line. They're in a, like, a waiting area.
A lot.
And Uber, at least in San Francisco, I think it was there, he said, yeah, they put us in an order.
Hmm.
Once you get there.
Yeah, they do that in L.A. as well. My Lyft driver was telling me. And not every Lyft or Uber driver is authorized to pick up from the airport, is what he was saying. So it might just be an issue of getting that additional queuing software or whatever it is. But, you go into, like, a separate Uber or Lyft queue when you're a driver and you get to the airport. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so can't you?
It's the same concept.
If you're an Uber driver, can't you just be like, "Well, I just look like a normal car. I'm just going to go drive up there."
But you can't. Uber won't connect you to a driver. Uber knows you're at the airport, and it will not connect you to a driver who's not in their airport queue.
Gotcha.
And that's why sometimes, like, it's funny. Like, when I landed at LAX last month. I saw a bunch of Lyft drivers around me, but they weren't authorized to come pick me up, and I had to take a conventional cab.
Well, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
There's a car right there?
Yeah, but I guess they weren't in that queue or whatever.
Okay, yeah, I totally get it.
So what were they doing there? Dropping people off?
Probably, yeah. Or they might have been doing errands around, I have no idea. But, yeah, there was nobody who was authorized to come pick me up. I ended up taking an Uber and splitting that with somebody. But
so have you've done the Uber pool thing where you share?
No, I just met a girl on the flight that we split the Uber with, yeah.
I did the Uber pool, and I didn't know it because they changed the interface. And, like, now you have to select, you select how many people you're going to be with. And I said one, and then the default setting is to do Uber pool, I think, for Uber X's now on the iPhone. And so you actually have to, like, hit the right button to say, I want the bigger charge. So my cab came, there was, like, a girl sitting in there, and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Hello!
I realized very quickly what was going on. But
it's a new form of dating, Gavin.
We actually started talking. It was kind of cool. But anyway, my only problem with Uber is that when I take a normal cab now, I go to get out every single time. Like, I open the door,
hey, where are you going?
Like, oh, shit. Yeah. And they always look at me like, yeah, like I'm an idiot. So, but
that's my look. Back at that, like, why aren't you an Uber?
That's right. And he'll tell me a story about how much it costs a medallion.
It is interesting when you do Uber and Lyft a lot, and they're just like, the driver's always like, what kind of music can I play for you? Would you like a water bottle? There's some back there. What route do you want me to take? Then you get in, like, a conventional cab, and he flies, like, immediately, like, no seatbelts, I'm like, oh, sir, you're going the wrong direction, like, there's such, you totally see, like, there's a billion reasons why the taxi industry is dying, and, like, we sometimes forget that, like, taxi drivers are terrible drivers.
Yeah, but they so I do think that they know the city beyond, a lot of them, beyond
totally
just Google Maps.
They totally
which
do.
Which does frustrate me that these guys are just doing Uber in their spare time. They're just glued to the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I want somebody who knows when there's an accident, I can take this, I can do this alternative route real fast.
Or they'll sometimes, like, there's certain things, like, I feel Google and Waze suck at certain, like, they get it down to, like, the computer efficiency, and there's some things, like, I was with a guy, he was, like, just trying to hang a left at 4 p.m. from a stop sign on Irving Park. I'm like, dude, you're never going to make this left. Like, traffic is never going to be, I mean, unless you really just grow a pair.
Chicago up.
Yeah, Chicago up, pal.
But like, we're in a Prius right now. We're not going to make it.
We're not going to make this, And, like, anyone else would have gone, anyone who knew the city would have gone a block further east where there is a light, gotten on, and would have saved time, But it's like, I feel Uber and Waze both suck at calculating, like, hard lefts and that kind of stuff.
Did we talk about, so in that family, there's a new one that's coming out? Did we talk about?
Oh, no.
There's one, Chariot is coming out.
Oh, yeah?
You know about this one?
Yeah, I heard about this.
So it's countering the security concerns with Uber and other services, and it is specifically for women. It is, like, built for women, about safety, and they're going to vet drivers better. They're going to, primarily
be women drivers, I guess, and serve the women community, and that's the way that they're getting around this. Now, that's cool. I have no problem with that. But I'm just what we were just talking about with cab drivers and the way that they do their thing.
Oh God.
And then Uber and Lyft. And my question is it just that the new services are new services and there's a news story about one incident, and so these services are problems? But the cab industry is, you know, so old. The same things are happening in the cab industry.
Yeah.
It's just the cab industry is not news because it's, you know, it's the cabs.
I mean, I think the difference is, like, they're mandated, like, background checks. But the companies are doing background checks on their own, right? I mean, it's in their best interest, like Uber, to do a background check.
Maybe.
I think so. I think if you looked at the rate, like, per driver, I think it would be totally the same, or I wouldn't be surprised if cab drivers were higher.
I mean, I'm interested in getting at some of those stats. My opinion is that just that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's no worse than it is getting in a cab somewhere. And people are like, oh my God, I'm not getting in an Uber, or I'm not getting in, you know, there's these guys, who knows who they are?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll get in this cab.
Yeah.
So
no,
it's
not bothering me at all.
The name of this new company is Chariot for Women, and they are only having women drivers. They have background checks run by Safer Places, which is, you know, some great place to have background checks done. They'll pass a criminal offender record thing, and they're doing all these other checks so that women feel real safe.
And they have a safe word, so like you can connect with the driver and know it's the right person versus just, you know, a name or whatever.
Yeah, I get that. And I don't begrudge this company's, you know, interesting business model. We'll see. Maybe it will be very, very successful. But mostly what I'm thinking is it might push the other guys to go, you know what, we'll do a little better job of these background checks.
And just offer the same thing. Like, I want a woman driver. Yeah,
totally.
You know, and you do the same background checks, the same criminal offender record stuff, and, you know, whatever.
Or maybe there's, like, an extra, you pay $2 extra and get, like, a triple, you know, A certified safety rating driver or something.
Because
like
you
that.
Need to pay extra for any sort of premium service,
maybe,
I'm sure. No, you've just made it happen, Gavin. You've just made this happen.
I'm sorry I did that.
Sorry. Now there's got to be premium Uber for women.
Price,
you know,
women's safety. That's my fault. I apologize.
You put a price on women's safety, right?
I like the idea, but I'm totally with you. And I just roll my eyes when I hear of the anecdotal evidence of like crime and I don't know. Anyway.
It's bad. It's horrible that things happen. I just don't think it happens any more so than any other walk of life or any.
No, I totally agree.
You know,
it's just it just gets more press.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a new thing.
Yeah.
Different press can talk about. So, big fans. We're all big fans. Stick with Uber.
Yeah.
Stick with,
love it.
Stick with one of the services. Cabs. You know, I was a little when I was in London a few weeks ago, and the black cab experience is a great experience, and that's one place where I was like, you know, I hope that stays. I hope that thing about a black cab in London stays. And those guys are great. Talk about people who know the city. You know, they work really hard to get certified and own a black cab. They have to take this amazing test and know the streets inside and out. And those guys that's a real career for those guys. And, you know, that's the negative. If Uber's going in and killing that industry, that would be a shame.
Well, I was listening to somebody sort of talk about that, like that real careers are sort of drying up, and like it's harder to make ends meet. People have to do multiple jobs to scrape by, and there's things like, you know, Uber, Airbnb. Now people are sort of being pushed into using their own car, using their own house to just sort of make bucks however they can, and we've lost sort of, you know, honest work, honest lit wages, you know, go home, you know, work your days, retire because everything has pensions, whatever. Just like, it's a weird economy we might be moving into.
I think a lot of people call it the task economy is like the term I hear a lot. That like a lot of employers, if they, you know, had their druthers, would just get rid of the concept of employees and just sort of like as information gets shared better, just farm out tasks on a day-to-day basis. You know, you don't even know who's doing it, you know?
Well, you know, I think I told the story early days of this whole transformation discussion. I had a buddy who, he worked for IBM. He got tired of the IBM animal. He went to work for a bank, the bank outsourced their IT to IBM. So he went back to IBM through that channel. He got tired of that. He worked for another bank. That bank outsourced to a different group, which was a smaller consulting group, that then got bought by IBM.
Can't escape.
And it's just this constant little dance that he was on.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I know it. I know what I'm going to like about it. I know what I'm not going to like about it. But in some ways, IBM. So who are the employees? They really end up being freelancers in a lot of cases. Our business is like that.
Yeah.
You know, the marketing world, we go out and get hired guns. Hey, we got a new business opportunity here. We're going to go find some people that can actually do this. No, we're not going to use our own people. They're all busy doing work. So we're
it's all freelance.
New opportunity. We're going to bring in freelancers to actually do the work that is ours. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Well, we were John, you remember that company you and I went to the Cubs game with, Top Coders or whatever it was? I think that was the name of the company. But they were unsettling in their business model. John and I were both a little uncomfortable with it. But they would have what you would do is you would release your project specs, like what you want built, and you pay Top Coders for it. And the way they get it worked is they have a coding contest where basically people have to unpaid develop this. So you would say I want a website that is, or I want a mobile app that will list these 15 models of vans, something like that, whatever, from this database. And there's coders from all over the world, mostly in impoverished countries, have to build this app, and then you select the one you like, and that's the only guy they pay.
That's right. One guy gets paid.
Yeah. And remember their sales guy is like, and we're like, well, what happens the other ways? He goes, doesn't matter. Not your problem.
Wow. You guys get the best code we got.
Yeah. You get the best guy, And we're like, they're just working for free. He's like, doesn't matter.
My brother, they get
badges. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My brother did something similar. They run a nonprofit, him and his wife, and they wanted to rebrand their kind of logos and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was the same concept. There's like a company out there that you pitch them your idea of what you're looking for, and then they just have a whole bunch of designers try to get the work.
Yeah.
And they give you all these different ideas. You select the one you like. That's what gets paid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. It was a great rooftop, though. A lot of fun.
Great.
It was a fun game.
Cubs win?
Yeah, Cubs won.
On the back
good food
of some
and beer.
Developer who's crying right now somewhere.
Not his problem.
But his portfolio is larger, so that's
it's exposure.
It's experience.
They're entry-level people, you would imagine, right? Or no? Like people trying to get their foot in the door and just build
a... Yeah, I think... Way. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Or freelance people that have... are between people. Gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody who wants to pick up a new technology, so they do it differently this time. Hmm. Although maybe it's time, so maybe they don't do that.
A giant hourglass.
Well, not timed, but there's a timeline.
Gotcha.
So, John, before we get close to wrap up here, do you have any vendor scum or anything that we should share?
Nothing this week. Last week was actually really good, so I'm going to take a week off and we'll come back next week.
Oh, that guy was great last week with the detailed schedule for his call.
Yeah. One of our listeners sent us that one. That was a great one.
Oh, that one was good. I liked that one. Sure?
Summary of our business, 3 minutes. That was classic.
Yeah.
Cool. Anybody else have anything they want to share? Probably wrap.
Some of us have to get to the airport.
Yeah. Good to have an in-studio guest this week.
Great to be here.
Thanks for joining.
Sorry I missed you today, Eric. I tried.
I felt horrible for you.
I know.
Everyone involved in that situation was terrible.
Yep.
Well, I understand it went really well last week, so John, you might be the MC going forward here.
I doubt that.
Thanks everybody for listening. We are the Worldwide IT Guys, www.itguys.com and www.itguys on Twitter. And Dion, did you have some?
Put in the mic in the resting position.
He's a defeated man.
Why? Why so defeated?
Well, he's probably holding a fart in.
Those are sensitive mics in there too.
He's just uncomfortable.
I'm saving it for the right time.
when you least expect it.
Wait, one time.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Later.
Carry on.
John.
I think that's another one where you don't need to do any edits. No, no internal terminology. Yeah. Two weeks in a row, straight to prod.
We talked about the mics a little bit.
Oh yeah.
You could edit out the mic, Jack.
I could edit that.
I guess that's true.
It's still very low. I'm assuming it's the splitter, whatever you guys have there.
Yeah, the settings may not be ideal. We'll look at that if we need to do this again.